it is going to take a long time. This is not an easy task, making the Middle East a place that's stable. And who knows if it can be done, but it's certainly worth a try to get a democracy flourishing there.
Well, my concern is more with what's going on here, I think, is why I mentioned the Patriot Act and concerns around that. I mean, I just feel like it's a very scary time, not only if I wanted to travel in the world, but also here at home with some of the overzealous terrorist prosecutions that are going on. You know, we have a story that I'm going to run, actually probably should run in about a minute, about a white middle-class art professor in New York who recently was arrested on suspicion of biological terrorism because he had genetic testing equipment in his home that was readily available for purchase anywhere. I mean, don't you worry that maybe we're giving up a little too much for this?
No. And here's my little spiel on the Patriot Act. Despite, I think, what people are afraid of in it, they're actually only variations on laws that have been in existence for decades. The actual Patriot Act itself is just a compilation of changes to other laws, and changes, I might add, that really are not all that drastic when compared to the original laws. They're actually just, the wording has been changed so that they can go after subjects, you know, terrorist subjects. But in essence, the grounds by which someone can be arrested for a quote-unquote, you know, terrorist act is based on the same evidence as was needed before it was called the Patriot Act. And I can't speak to this sense of greater safety because we live in an open society. It's not safe. It's not going to be safe. And that's the price we pay for being a democracy. You know, we're going to have open borders and we're going to have, you know, planes that might be able to be hijacked, but we're a free and democratic society, and that's kind of how it goes.
Well, I hope that we continue to be, is all I can say. And thank you for joining us, Andrea. Maybe we'll have you back again, maybe when school starts up.
Sure.
So, next up, we have a story about an email press release that has been circulating the web this past week, detailing the story of art professor Steve Kurtz's detainment by the FBI at his home in New York after he called police to report the death of his wife in their home from a cardiac arrest. The press release was titled FBI Abducts Artist, Seizes Art, Feds Unable to Distinguish Art from Bioterrorism, Grieving Artist Denied Access to Deceased Wife's Body. Yesterday, I got Beatriz DaCosta, a member of Critical Art Ensemble, the group Kurtz worked collaboratively with, on the phone to tell us a few of the details surrounding this story.
Good evening once again. Topping 7 News at 6, federal investigators continue searching a home in Allentown tonight.
Buffalo police were called to the home on College Street 3 days ago after the home's owner, Steve Kurtz, returned to find his wife dead. It is believed she died of natural causes. But while officers were in the house, they spotted some suspicious materials thought to be biological agents. Now, the FBI's hazardous materials team has been at the house since yesterday collecting evidence. For more information on the home's owner, Steve Kurtz, and for the latest on the situation, let's go live to 7 News reporter Stephanie Hoy, who is standing by on College Street.
Well, Susan, we do know that Stephen Kurtz is an art professor at the University of Buffalo, and we are learning today from the local art community that the biological materials that are believed to be in his home are commonly used in artwork.
These are federal agents investigating unknown materials at UB art professor Stephen Kurtz's home.
On May 11th, Steve Kurtz was already suffering from one tragedy when he called 911 early in the morning to tell them that his wife had suffered a cardiac arrest and died in her sleep. When the police arrived, they decided that Kurtz's art supplies were actually bioterrorism weapons. And there began an Orwellian stream of events in which FBI agents abducted Kurtz without charges, sealed off his entire block, and confiscated his computers, manuscript, art supplies, and even his wife's body. We have on the line Beatriz DaCosta, a member of the Critical Art Ensemble, which Kurtz is also a member of, here to talk to us about some of the details of that situation. She is currently coming to us from the Museum of Contemporary Art in Massachusetts, where you have a show going on, Beatrice, that is not going exactly as planned.
Yeah. So what was going on is that the show we are setting up right here needed laboratory equipment that was seized by the FBI and is at this point haven't been returned. So what we're doing is showing some documentation and mainly putting up a signage explaining why the material is not here.
Now, what kind of equipment are we talking about?
So what we are talking about is a small molecular biology lab that is used for DNA extraction and DNA analysis that we used for a project in which we tested processed food for possible transgenic contamination. So within the European context, we were testing products that were not labeled transgenic since the European legal situation is slightly different from here. And in the U.S., we were testing organic food products that obviously are not supposed to contain any transgenic traces.
And this is equipment that you've been using to no event for quite some time. People can see the equipment at the website, which is www.criticalart.net. But let's get back to the real issue here is that Steve Kurtz, who's a professor of art at SUNY Buffalo in New York, called the police because his wife had passed away. He was kind of doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, so what happened is, as you said just a minute ago, his wife passed away in the night of Tuesday 11th, and he called 911 waking up next to his deceased wife. And a police investigation was made, which is standard procedure when someone dies at home, because they have to determine the cause of the death. So they did all of that, did the autopsy, and cleared the body of his wife as well as him the next day. However, during the while the police was in his house, what they saw was this lab equipment I just mentioned, and also a few petri dishes containing bacteria that we used for actually two other projects that also concerned with the implications of biotechnology. So they called the FBI, and so then he was detained 3 hours later by the FBI, not by the police, and held for 22 hours until he got a lawyer, and it was determined that the FBI had no rights, no legal basis to actually detain him, which he wasn't aware of. I mean,
I know if the FBI were telling me I had to stay in one place, I would probably be kind of hesitant to
No,
leave.
He was actually being very cooperative until he got his lawyer. But what happened after that is that they still had the house, his car, his cat, and I guess of all the items, the most traumatizing one is that the FBI took the body of his wife again after it had already been cleared by the police.
So they removed the body from
the funeral home.
Oh, okay, from the funeral home. And did they offer any kind of reasoning behind that?
No. Nope.
So without any justification, the FBI just came in and took over his home.
They were mentioned, I mean, we know they were investigating bioterrorism. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what they exactly told him personally and what they told his lawyer, but that was the initial suspicion was that bioterrorist activities were being conducted out of his home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they were testing for all the classified A agents. I think they did find out pretty fast that no such thing was going on in his household, but for 48 hours, he was the number one case in this country. So more resources went to his case in terms of FBI budget than any other case in the country. Mm. You kind of, you know, it's a little bit of frenzy here going on. Just a slight overreaction to spend millions of dollars because someone had a little bit of equipment in his apartment.
And they're doing all this while they're also announcing that Al-Qaeda wants to, quote, hit us hard this holiday season.
Absolutely. It was actually a week prior to that, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure that the FBI was already thinking about it on May 11th.
His lawyer suspected that, you know, one of the reasons they might have done it is because they used it as a test case to test their equipment and, you know, the speed of their reaction, how fast they could be there. But there were agents from all of 5 different FBI agencies in Buffalo.
5 different agencies.
Yes. And the Department of Defense was there, too. I mean, it was definitely...
This is a kind of sensitive question to ask, given, you know, that there's a death of a loved one involved. But, you know, we got this press release from Artmark, who we're quite familiar with, and the Yes Men were recently on the show. They have some relationships with Critical Art Ensemble. Have you faced any speculation that, that this might be a hoax? Because I know it's also been kind of hard to find media on this.
Yes, a lot of people, especially people who knew Art Mark, were actually wondering if it was a hoax, which it's really not. And mm-hmm. one of the reasons Critica Art Ensemble, we sort of agreed or decided to have a press release is because the current press coverage really stayed at the local news level. And mm-hmm. we believed that this particular case, you know, should really be made public, especially since he does not belong to the usual target group, you know, white male middle class American.
Right.
So that was one of the reasons. I mean, one reason was the fundraiser, because especially if charges are going to be placed, it's going to be exorbitant costs. But the other reason was really just we wanted to get the word out there and give an example on how vulnerable pretty much anyone in this country is at this point for FBI abuse.
Yeah, I notice in the press release you mentioned the case of Brandon Mayfield, a Muslim lawyer from Portland who was imprisoned, saying they were that he might have been associated with the Madrid bombings.
I doubt that sort of the personal suffrage here was anywhere close to what Mayfield went through, but it's another example of complete FBI overreaction
mm-hmm.
based on very limited resources. I mean, we even suspect that the way they obtained the warrant was illegal, because you're really not supposed to get a warrant in a case like this unless you see illegal materials in his house, which there weren't any. Anything he had, anyone can buy, anyone has the right to own.
I noticed in one of the links to a local news story that I found by going to the press release that there was some statement that the faculty at SUNY Buffalo who had worked with Steve Kurtz were professing that the FBI had told them not to speak to the press, and the FBI then was coming back saying that they had said no such thing to faculty. Do you know anything about that?
Well, what happened is his lawyer had strongly advised Steve Kurtz himself not to talk to the media, so just one of the reasons I'm on this show as opposed to him.
Right.
I don't know anything about the faculty, actually. I know that the FBI has questioned a lot of his colleagues, or paid them a visit, as well as other professionals in the field. But I don't recall any information that his colleagues were advised not to talk to the press.
Well, Beatrice, I'm glad that you chose to speak to the press, or at least to us. And do you have any last words before we wrap this up?
Well, if people are interested at this point, due to the press release, there will be quite a bit of national coverage. So I know the Washington Post is writing something this weekend. The New York Times is writing, actually the LA Weekly as well. So there will be more news coverage soon than just the local news.
Well, we will certainly look for that coverage in all those other newspapers. Hopefully some of our listeners will be compelled to check out the website at www.rtmark.com/CAE defense. Again, that's www.rtmark.com/CAE defense, or you can catch any of those links at our website, www.undemocratic.us/Amandla. That's Amandla. Thank you so much for joining us, Beatrice.
Sure, you're welcome.
Michael